Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me today is Matthew Wren, product manager at Expo Realty.
Expo Realty.
I can't read, man. do you have an app or some sort of solution for my stupidity? Is there anything in there?
No, nothing I can do there.
So you're saying I'm helpless and hopeless?
Pretty much.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Expo Realty.
Expo Realty.
Yes, I got that right the second time.
There you go.
It's all good. No, so first off, you just had a chance to show me sort of a demo how it works. Incredibly fascinating. I've seen 1,000 times of the augmented reality thing. Mm-hmm. I've seen 1,000,000 different applications for it. And I am amazed and like blown away every time, even still.
And how many times have you seen your logo in it?
Never.
Okay.
So now it's the first time and I'll remember it. But it's like, it's just one of those things where it's just so cool. I feel like people, for those who have not experienced seeing like a 3D image in front of your own, whatever you're looking at through your phone, it just blows you away. And it just like, I guess in my mind, it always makes me feel creative juices where I'm thinking like, holy cow, where could this go?
Right.
And we've got you here to kind of tell us where this could go.
Sure.
So why don't you start off by talking a little bit about the company, what it does, and how you guys are using this sort of technical tool to change the world.
Sure. Well, Expo Realty is actually, it's pretty specific. It's pretty niche. It's targeted at trade shows. If you've been to a trade show and have ever played the passport game,
yep,
where you get a card, you go to different booths, they stamp the booth, it drives traffic to smaller booths. The expo companies and the associations that are hosting trade shows, they're happier because their smaller booths are getting some traffic. Hopefully they're getting some business out of it, and then they're coming back year after year. And what we did is we took that passport game, which is kind of old because it's, you know, paper and stamps, and we made it a mobile application that uses augmented reality. So now, you know, the smaller booths who've always been kind of relegated to paper and stamps can actually have kind of some cool technology, and it's a little more updated, a little bit less wasteful.
Yeah,
and that's kind of where the idea came from.
So I assume that, like, in your background, you're a product designer. What's your main?
So my background is actually development. We do all sorts of web application, mobile application, augmented reality, virtual reality development, and then I've also spent a lot of time in the live events industry, so trade shows, corporate
events.
It's
the perfect marriage for you.
Yeah,
this is perfect. So I want to ask you, I guess, right off, you know, as a simple starting point, when you first encountered, and it's probably earlier than the average person as being a person who's in development, when you first encountered augmented reality in its most real form,
okay,
what was the thought process? Like, what in your head started firing? What were the applications you thought were like, wow, I can't wait to see this make its way to XYZ? What were your thoughts in general? Like, when you saw that augmented reality was starting to become a thing, you were like, what in your head was going off?
I mean, early on, actually, even when I started seeing things like Waze or Google Navigation, and I'm thinking, why isn't this firing through the camera or in front of my face as opposed to on an app? Because
yeah,
I'm thinking, I know you can augment this in over the physical world as opposed to just looking at a screen of a map.
Which BMW, I guess, and that's funny, maybe you're the person to ask someone on this, like BMW has tried to do that, and they do it in some of the cars, and it works, I guess, somewhat, but they have had some issues,
okay,
with being able to overlay that on, I guess, an unlimited...
Like a heads-up display?
Yeah, like a heads-up display where it's sort of an unlimited hue of the world, right? Because it can be bright lights, colors, cars, and things, and it has to adjust so that you can actually visually see it.
Well, there's definitely
it.
Some challenges for doing that when you're actually mixing it, you know, like that. But you
yeah
could do it with a camera feed through a phone very easily.
Because
yeah, if the phone, you know, with the phone, I'm still looking at the physical world. I'm looking at a video version of it, but I'm still looking at what's real in front of me right now. And for me to put a digital object in front of that is easy enough to do.
So would you do that, like, if you were talking about using maps as an example?
Yeah.
Is that something where you're looking like through a headset or through your phone literally, or?
I mean, ideally it's going to be through something like this or
yeah
even through a contact
so
lens
Google
eventually.
Glass when they, yeah.
But yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Google Glass, I think, had some problems, and now you're
oh, for
with
sure,
the
yeah
HoloLens and with the Metas, I think Meta 2, or I'm not sure what other ones are out there and available right now. They're getting to the point where it's a little bit farther on the tech. I still think we're a lot of years away from an actual like headset where it's able to do it really well.
I
but
do too, but you know what? This is
the
first time
we've
talked about this since I got into the tech, quote unquote, tech world in like 2012, 13. And that was the first project I had that had augmented reality as part of it. It was an app that we were working on with a group that essentially, for lack of a better term, was essentially hover this over your menu at a restaurant, and you'd have things that were tailored to what your previous purchasing habits had been, any sort of restrictions on your diet and things like that. So they would have this. Capital Grille had this little thing on it, and we would just go like that, and it was different. And it was if you were part of the Capital Club, then you got that sort of stuff.
Really?
It was. I mean, it went nowhere, and the company totally exploded. But the idea was cool, but the tech was not ready for it yet.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, 3 years later, 4 years later now, and we're still seeing different versions. This is the first time in my time in tech, not that it's a long time, but in tech, 5 years is like a lifetime, where the minority report world seems to be like getting closer. I feel like I can like touch it now.
Yeah, it's getting there.
And when you just showed me all the stuff on my computer, I felt a lot more minority report.
The stuff that we're really trying to do is make it accessible. So, you know, it's really great if people like me can do augmented reality and virtual reality. That's fine. But for somebody who doesn't do AR, VR development, modeling, things like that, yeah. to be able to have your logo in VR or in AR in front of you. I mean, we did that in 20 minutes. It wasn't like it was hard. But for you to be able to necessarily say, okay, well, I want my, you know, it's always kind of cool when people see their own thing. Like it's you know,
makes it real.
I can see somebody's, you know, I see somebody else's symbol, I see somebody else's object, I see a Pokemon, whatever.
Well, because in my head, I'm thinking like when you show me something that's yours, I think, well, yeah, of course, you had all day long and night long and months long to create this thing, and now you show it to me. Like that's, for all I know, this could have been a pre-recorded video of a camera. You know, like look, I have no idea.
Right.
When you show me my logo, it's like, holy cow, that's me, that's my stuff.
And it's targeting off of your website.
Yeah, very cool. So I guess the biggest thing I kind of ask for people to understand how to use this as a tool is at the expos. I think of like the golf expo here that they do in Rosemont's perfect example for you've got big and small players. You got your major OEMs that are running around and they've got all the money. Well, it's golf, so they don't have any money in the world, but they used to have all the money in the world. And then you've got tons of small mom and pop shops that it's usually very low tech.
Right.
And they now have like some way to attract people with tech.
Yes.
And I feel like that was the one thing that a lot of, in golf in particular, but also just businesses, particularly in the expo world, the main part was the smaller companies really had a hard time gathering younger people's attention.
Well, and that's what it comes down to. If you go to an expo and you go to a trade show, you've got the big companies that have the 100-foot by 100-foot booth, and they've got all the flashy demos, and they've got all this stuff that are going to attract the people. People are going to go there and
give away. And that all costs tons of money. Like, not to go off beat here, but like we did an event with Salesforce,
mm-hmm.
and they sent us, I mean, they didn't even care. We threw almost all of it out. They sent us tons of, like, 500-something giveaway buckets to give to people, all this stuff, and we didn't have that many people, and they didn't even care. It was just like, oh, that's like what we do.
Right.
It's like, all right, so if I'm a person trying to compete with that, I have to have $1 million to be able to spend on random junk? Like,
right, and if you're the small company who was barely able to afford a 10x10.
The table, yeah.
And you can maybe afford to staff two people there the whole time, and you still have to attract people to your booth, that's why the expo companies and the associations like to have this passport game, because that's what draws some traffic to the smaller booths. And, I mean, it to a certain degree, it actually even helps the other small booths that aren't on the passport, because just getting traffic around the area,
sure.
maybe the people who are walking by see something else. But for the ones that are on it, they're getting measurable traffic now. And it doesn't, you know, it's basically sponsorship is what it comes down to. If you're a giant Fortune 500 company and you're at a trade show, you can usually afford to, like, sponsor the general session. And a smaller, slightly smaller company can afford to sponsor the cocktail hour. But if you're the guy who can barely afford the 10x10, you can't afford that kind of outlay for sponsorship to draw some more traffic to make you guys, you know, get your name in front of the people who are attending the show. So you get on the passport. People are usually, the passport involves a giveaway. So the trade show company is, you know, offering iPads or a laptop. I've heard of one show that's actually offering a Corvette. I mean, so the prizes kind of run the gamut of everything. But completing the passport, usually you get entered into a raffle. That's all organized by either the association or the trade show company or whoever's running it. But it draws the traffic to the smaller booths that otherwise probably wouldn't see as much traffic. And that's why you want to be on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's super cool. And I hope that a lot of the small companies, you know, there's always, and you've kind of talked about this in the beginning, that there's a learning curve that I think scares them away a lot of times. The fact you've made this so simple and easy and sort of approachable.
Yeah, they go and basically fill out a web form and they're done.
Yeah, so that's about as far as you could probably go on a barrier for most of these people. So now if we switch over to those who are well-funded,
yes,
how do you see this application being able to or advancing with larger companies, those who are spending a lot of money? How do you see them using not just augmented reality but your own product?
I mean, a bigger company could probably afford to host their own game within the booth if they wanted to. Within, you know, if they've got a bigger booth and they've got enough stations that they want people to go to within a booth, they could pretty much host their own game within the booth. You know, we're not at the point where we're looking at doing like white labeling the app for somebody, but it's possible. It's not like it's out of the, you know, it's not out of the ordinary. We could do stuff like that. But for right now, we're early. We're really at the point now where, you know, we've done a few smaller tests. We're getting ready to start betaing it with some bigger trade shows. Yeah, oddly enough, the golf show you mentioned, we know who organizes that one, so yeah. We've talked to them. They've seen it, and they kind of were, you know, they had some questions, but they were pretty impressed.
I feel like it's a great fit. The golf one to me seems like a great fit because you play 18 holes, so you could literally go to all these different attractions.
Make it a golf card.
Just make it a golf game. Yeah, score points in the winner, whatever.
Right, and then the giveaway could be anything from a set of clubs to a golf trip. Who knows?
The Robert Trent Jones Trail would be a great ad. I'll tell you what, I'm going there if I find out you guys are doing that, I'm in. At any rate, so what do you see as sort of, you get out of beta, you get your feedback, you guys decide this is a go, things are going, are you raising capital, are you what's the next sort of evolution of your company?
Honestly, I don't know yet. We're trying to take the next step and figure out what's going there, and then the step after that. I mean, the nice thing about the technology and the API that's behind it is it can expand. It could be used for other use cases.
I was going to say, because it seems very scalable. This idea doesn't seem like you don't need a tremendous amount of capital to continue to build and develop. Maybe some, but not a huge amount, I wouldn't think.
Well, I mean, technically, I own a development company, so the development part's easy. It's more marketing and
getting inside of all these different deals. What are, and again, you don't have to answer this if you feel like it's giving away some of the trade, but what are some of the other verticals you think this tech that you have lends itself to?
I mean, within the trade show industry itself, you could use it
even
for,
outside a trade show. Do you see other? Because I look at this, yeah, and I think there's literally probably 100 things that in my brain, right off the bat, I was like, I could see this being used for this. I could see it being used here.
I mean, with this technology alone and this app, within trade shows, you could stay in there and apply it to continuing education credits and stuff like that. Yeah. If you wanted to go more horizontal, you could use it in tourism and having, essentially a treasure hunt around a city.
Yeah.
You could have a treasure hunt that's tourism based. You could do shopping. Around stores or different locations. There's all sorts of ways you could go with it.
Yeah. So I think you need to get this in front of Target and they can little red dot all over the place. But that's just my idea. So anyway, this has been great. Very cool. Where do people go to learn more about this? How you talked about getting inside with some of these the trade expo people. How could they find you? What's the best way to get
They can find us at exporeality.com, and we have contact forms on the site and just easy enough to reach out and talk to us from there.
Very cool. This has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @technori, and follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.